Joining us right now on the HRMP hotline as he is about to take on his fourth professional fight on Saturday with Night to Fight for Ring of Hope. He is the son of one of the greatest boxers of all time, now making his own name in the business. He is Evan Young Holyfield. Evan, Patrick Creighton, Nate Griffin, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Doing well. So appreciate you taking some time with us. So, you know, if you could give us a little bit about you're getting in the ring on Saturday night with this pay-per-view to benefit Ring of Hope. Tell us a little bit about what's going down.
You know, this is my fourth professional fight. This is my second time actually fighting in Texas. First time fighting in Dallas. And, you know, I'm pretty excited for this event. I know all the proceeds have gone towards a good cause, and I just think it's a great thing all around. You know, there's a lot of names around here and a lot of up-and-comers, and I know there's a heavyweight bout, too, and that's supposed to be pretty good, too.
Now, your last time out, I mean, I know you don't get paid by the minute, but about a minute is as long as you fought, 82 seconds. Who's your opponent for this fight, and, you know, what do you know about him, and how do you plan to attack him?
I'm fighting a guy named Dylan Carlson. I really don't know too much about him. I've seen him fight probably like once or twice. I know he has a winning record and everything, and he's going to come to fight. But other than that, you know, I've been boxing for about, you know, a long time as far as amateurs. So some of the tournaments I'd fight every day, a different person every day. And, you know, sometimes they'd be ranked, sometimes they wouldn't, you know, in the United States. So with that, you don't have time to really look up on all your people you're about to fight and fight them, you know, the very next day. So I think I'm pretty prepared. I'm pretty experienced when it comes down to these type of things. And I'm just going to go out there and box, you know, hit, don't get hit, and just let my punches do my talking, you know?
Evan, I'm going to share something with you. I'm Nate. I'm the other guy. I covered your dad when he was boxing. Doesn't mean I'm old. Just means I've been around a little bit, okay?
Don't let him lie. He's old.
Just want to let you know that, all right?
Yes, sir.
Your dad was a great, great boxer. I'm sure I don't have to tell you that. You could just look at the clips and see your dad was a great boxer. What has your dad said to you, and did he say to you, son, it's okay for you to box? Was he all in favor of that? Tell us the story about that. Tell us everything. We want to know it all.
All right. So when I had my first fight, I was like 8 years old. So I remember one day it was me, my brother Elijah, who you may know, he plays for the Eagles.
Yeah.
Now, so, you know, me and him, we're the same age. You know, we're both 22, we're only a month apart. So we were all, like, riding in the car with my dad, right? And my dad just brought up – he casually brought up boxing, you know what I mean? You know, because he sees us do it around the house. You know, he may have seen us, you know, joke around, rough house around the house and stuff like that. So he casually brings it up in the car. He goes, like, hey, you know, what would y'all think about having your first boxing match, you know? And, of course, you know, when you're with your brother, you know, if I was to say, yeah, I'm going to try it, of course my brother's gonna be like, yeah, you know,
yep,
he wants to try, you know, because we feed off each other like that, especially when we, you know, a young age. So, you know, of course we both agreed, you know, because we thought it was all cool. We thought it was all like, you know, what you see on TV, uppercuts and stuff, uppercuts, normally the knockout punch and whatnot. So so that very same day he was like, okay. He called us downstairs probably like an hour later, 2 hours later once we got home, and he taught us the jab and the right hand. That's the 1-2. So He worked on us with a 1-2 and keeping our hands up for like about like a solid like hour and a half, you know, taught us how to jab and stuff like that, and pretty much just taught us the rules, you know, how like most punches typically wants to fight, especially at that time and age, in amateur boxing, they was counted punches, not the 10-point mustard. So after that very same day, he had us weighing in. So when you weigh in, you know, of course, there's a bunch of other kids and, you know, teenagers and stuff. But I really didn't understand the full thing of what really was going on. So when he had us, you know, at the weigh-ins and everything, honestly, I don't know what my brother was thinking, but I could tell you what I was thinking. You know, at the AJA, I thought we was at the doctor. I was like, dang, we at the doctor's office? So a lot of people getting checkups at the same time, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
And, you know, he told me my weight. I wasn't really surprised, you know. I kind of already kind of had an idea, you know, what I was weighing. So he takes us back home and everything, and he really wasn't talking too much about it at that point. But, you know, me and my brother, you know, we was talking about it. We was like, oh, yeah, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. We're going to hit him with uppercuts and all that, you know. We didn't, even though we didn't know how to throw it, we used to start used because he's hopping the ring, this is automatic because he's know what to do and stuff like that. And we didn't understand, well, I didn't understand how serious it was. And, you know, later that day, we was in Georgia Games. And at the time, like around like, I forget what year it was, but around the time, Georgia Games was pretty big out there in Georgia. It was like the next biggest thing since Golden Gloves. Everybody from Alabama, Florida, South Carolina used to all come to Georgia for this tournament. So technically, if you win that tournament, you know, you'll be number one. You'll be number one in the state of Georgia for your age bracket and weight and all that. So I had five first, and I had one. Actually knocked my boy down and everything, but I really didn't understand what was going on. I looked at my dad, and my dad was like, hey, you better throw them punches, you know. You know, I let them hands go. And then Elijah did good. He fought 2 days, and, you know, you're both, you know, Georgia State champions. So that really, that's kind of what really kicked us off from that point. But my mom had took me out and had me play every other sport from, like, the age of, like, I don't know, like, 8 or 9 to, like, 13, 14. You play all the other sports. And you eventually weed out and find, you know,
that's right.
What you're best at, you know, what your real passion is, you know, like, I can be honest, like, not waking up for football practice, but going to football practice, that wasn't really, like, you know, that wasn't really my thing, you know. I didn't like getting hit from places I didn't see by other people and stuff like that. And I did Taekwondo. I was number one for about, like, a year or two. But I eventually got disqualified for hitting people too hard to the head.
Really?
Yeah,
you're not allowed to hit him too hard.
Yeah, so my dad was like, you know, you're going to hit him that hard, you might as well just box. You know, I did gymnastics, track. I actually like track because, you know, all my brothers and sisters was running track.
Sure.
So track was fun. I did wrestling, basketball. In middle school, I played every sport I possibly could, like, literally, except for basketball because, you know, my jump shot wasn't all that, you know. And I had to try out for basketball. But, you know, layups, crazy. But, yeah, so, you know, after that, I had came to the age of, like, 14, around 14. You know what winning is, and you know what losing feels like. And some people are okay with it, but some people aren't. I'm one of those people. I hate losing. So I had really fallen into my competitiveness. I had started understanding the sport. And, you know, I understood, like, with a team, you're relying on other people. But with these individual sports like track and boxing and stuff like that, all that's on me, you know.
Right.
My coaches can tell me what to do, but at the end of the day, it's going to be up to me to execute that game plan and really, you know, put in that work to make myself better. I wouldn't have to rely on anybody. So I had came downstairs at the age of 14, and I had sat my mom and dad down, and I was like, hey, this is the only sport I want to play, because I understood every elite athlete, you know, coming through high school and stuff like that, they only focus on one sport, and that's what always propels them to the next level,
that's
like
right.
College and stuff like that. And
that's
I understood there wasn't college for boxing. So I understood, you know, this is something I'm going to have to put all my time into, you know, because those are always the ultimate, you know, the elite competitors, people who only focus on one thing and not having their hands in all the different pots. So with that, I told my dad that, and he made sure to tell me, you know, when you step in that ring, I'm not going to get hit. It's going to be you in that ring. And you got to do it for your own passion and love. So eventually, you know, I came to my own thing, and I told him, you know, this is definitely my own passion and love. So we started going back to the boxing gym. And the first, like, I got to say, for the first, like, 6 months, man, I was going against some people who were, like, you know, Golden Gloves champions and stuff like that in my gym. And, of course, was it actually in the hood? You know, the gym was in the hood, and I was going to Atlanta Pal.
Yeah.
So, just think about it. I'll come in there, and, you know, when I first come in, my mom's going to be the one to take me in because she don't know nothing about boxing.
So are you from? So did you guys live in the suburbs?
Oh, yeah, of course we live in the suburbs.
And now you're fighting the hood.
Yeah. And I feel like it was a good game for me, though, because it really kind of, like, broke me out that – not, like – no, because I can say this. My dad always had that house. But when I was with my mom, he, like, we lived in a place down in Atlanta called Clayton County. It wasn't ghetto, but it wasn't the best place. So, you know, I'd be around some of them kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when I came to that boxing gym, it was almost like I had a had like a target on my back, because, you know, when you see like a young, you know, boy come through and you have something that they don't, and they should think that, you know, you're just living a totally like privileged life. And that's not how my dad brought us up. You know, we grew up normal. So, you know, everybody's just thinking that, you know, you should live a privileged life. So, you know, everybody tries to go hard on you and stuff like that, you know, the first couple of days. But, like, you know, that really broke me into the sport. And I ain't going to lie. I'm not going to lie. You know, I used to be crying before I used to go into the gym sometimes, because, you know, I didn't want to, you know, really get hurt. You know, it's just like, you know, it's always overwhelming getting beat up when you really can't.
Were you with your mom when you were crying, or were you with your dad?
The shadow. Tacos. I was with my dad, because my mom, oh, no, nah, you don't want my mom to be there. My mom said she going to try to get in the ring or something. Or
Nice. Nice.
Hey, and even to this day, she don't watch. To this day.
Is that right? She doesn't watch your fights?
My dad watches. My mom doesn't watch.
Wow. And what's your record now?
I'm 4-0. Well, I'm 3-0. I'm 3-0. I'm always
You'll be 4-0 on Sunday.
So, when is your fight?
When is my fight? It's Saturday. I know they're talking about there's like eight fights on the card, and I'm like number 5, so that's around like 8:30. You could say. So, I'm pretty excited.
How can people get tickets to the event, Evan?
Honestly, I really can't tell you. I know.
He probably doesn't know. He's
you got somebody who handles that.
So you have your people call my people, and you know we'll settle on some tickets. So
oh yeah, Ed, but you could probably just go on ringofhope.com and probably find some tickets like that.
Ringofhope.com. It's Saturday night. This Saturday night, everything starts 7 o'clock.
Where?
Here in Dallas. Well, not here, but here in Texas, in Dallas. It's at Toyota Music Factory in Irving, right outside of Dallas. Everything starts 7 o'clock. It's Ring of Hope, Night to Fight, Evan Holyfield. This fourth professional fight. Evan, do you feel extra pressure because, you know, of you know, your family, because, you know, your dad is the only person to ever be the undisputed champ in two weight classes, because he's the only man to ever be a 4-time world heavyweight champion. Does your last name put a target on your back or make you feel more pressure to succeed?
Absolutely not. You know, like I said before, when I was 14, he told me if I stepped in that ring, it was going to be for myself. So I understand that it's something I really enjoy, and it's something I really sacrifice for, you know, personally. So, when you're doing it for yourself, you know, it can get me no pressure as far as, you know, we're totally separate human beings, you know, and I understand that. And, I'm in there, you know, it's different when, for like, what's your reason why you're boxing? You know, I absolutely know mine. Well, I don't absolutely know it, but I know I'm in there for me. You know, no doubt about it. I don't care if nobody showed up to the fight. I don't care if had my mom's last name. I'm still gonna be going in there, giving my 100%, giving my all. I feel like I have the talent that's got me, you know, this far. It's just, you know, it's just a matter of staying focused and just, you know, just staying in love with the sport, because, you know, that's pretty much what it is. At this point,
he is Evan Young Holyfield. Fourth professional fight is Saturday with Night to Fight benefiting ringofhope.com. Evan,
your dad is 6'2. How tall are you?
I'm going to say, like, on a good day. Well, on my thing, I say 6'2, but I know I'm still growing. I'm still eating my Wheaties. So hoping for that extra inch. 6'3, you know.
Are you 6'2 now?
Oh, I'm 6'2 right now. Yeah, I'm 6'2.
And you're fighting at what weight?
154, sir.
6'2, 154?
Yes, sir.
Man, you got plenty of room to grow.
He's not going
to
be fighting at that weight very long.
No, you know, not at all. If you're still good, yeah. You'll probably another 20 pounds in about, yeah, I can see that already.
Yeah, I can believe it. I'm only like, you know, 22, and my dad had a late growth spurt too, also. And it's like pretty crazy. Fun fact. Me and my dad, we kind of been like, well, for the most part of my life, you know, since I was like 18, we was like the same size, like at like every age, you know. clearly he bulked up a little bit towards the end.
Very nice.
Evan Holyfield, Young Holy, fighting on Saturday night. Evan, appreciate your time. Good luck on Saturday, and hopefully we'll be talking with you soon.
Oh, yeah. Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, buddy. Take care, man.
All right, you too.
All right.